He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I believe that the angel would come today and say the same thing. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. This tomb is empty. He's not here. He is risen.
Praise the Lord. You know, that statement, you can't help but think about, when you're in church all the time, you can't help but think about that statement. Because I believe that God, Jesus, He said the one thing He would build was His church. And He never intended to build a dead church, but a live church and a living church. You know, I thank God that we're able at least once a year to really overemphasize the resurrection, as every day we live in light of His resurrection. Every time the disciples got on their feet and they began to preach the gospel isn't just Jesus, God loves you. That's a fact. But the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Every time they got to their feet and they began to speak, every time after being persecuted, whatever opportunity gave it, they always spoke about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that in and of itself holds its own kind of weight. That's what separates Christianity from any other kind of religion. You could try to, try to get psychological in your religion. You could try to all these things. But the fact of the matter is that the one that we follow, He's not in a tomb. I've been to Kandy, Sri Lanka, where the Buddhists go on their pilgrimage, and they worship the temple of the tooth, where the Buddha's tooth is. And that's no question. You might see a tooth there. When you go to Mecca, they have their prophet Muhammad's bones, and they march around the building there. But when you go to Jerusalem, you won't find a bone. You won't find a tooth. You won't find a hank of hair, Sister Rebecca. Why? Because all part of Jesus came walking out of that tomb. Amen. Matthew 28, I want to read an account. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, to the seat of sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. This is the second earthquake. One earthquake happened at the cross, and now there's another earthquake, and Jerusalem's just being all shaken up right now, man. They don't know what to do. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and He sat upon it. He sat on it. And His countenance was like lightning, and His raiment white as snow. For fear of Him, the keepers did shake, and they became as dead men. As dead men. You know, it's amazing back in that time, you know, with the Roman Empire and their dominion, and that they had stamped them. And the tomb was so stamped up, and it was under Roman occupancy. The power of the world in that day. The greatest power, I mean, its full-fledged forces were all over the place, and this Jesus, this tomb, was just under their domain. But how many know that there was a changing of a guard? A different kind of authority showed up. You see, what Rome was able to handle was nothing but death. But the tomb that was used to be able to occupy nothing but a dead corpse, once life came into Jesus, and once His body once was corruptible, put on incorruption, and what was once just mortal mere flesh put on immortality, and when the crown of life was again restored unto the Son of Man, the tomb no longer held just this dead body, this dead thing, but a changing, an unexpected change began to happen. And so when the Roman soldiers are standing there, and out of just their surprise, all of a sudden they're seeing these angels now come forth, and the angel of the Lord descended from in heaven and say, excuse me, you know what, now this is under a different occupancy. Because the fact of the matter is that wherever the king goes, His kingdom shows up. And so Jesus, we're not waiting until He returns again to be crowned king. He was crowned king when He rose from the grave. And so when the king showed up, all of a sudden, all of his his authority and his dominion and everything began to fall and says, okay, now there's a new seal here. And so for the fact that the angel began to roll the stone away and that he sat on the stone. He didn't just sit there and sit next to it and just, you know, made a little tourist group for all the people who didn't believe to come and see, but he sat on it as a statement that death has been defeated, and so I sit on that. And so it was just, it was a whole different stamp. You see, that was their stamp. Roman had their stamp on the stone. The angel had his stamp by just sitting on it. He sat upon the very power of the day because a greater power just invaded that tomb. And so it's amazing. And so I was meditating on that, and I was like, well, Lord, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about how the kingdom began to infiltrate a whole different place. And so when the disciples and when Mary and them went to go see, you know, they were shocked. They're walking up to the tomb, and they're thinking, I don't look like no Roman soldier. I don't know. That looks like a little different person. They're shocked, say, what is going on? Powerful. But there's more to it, because not only was there an angel, if actually read in John's gospel, I was reading different gospels and different accounts about it, but then they also went and they looked inside the tomb. And there was some more angelic involvement that took place, because they went to look inside the tomb, and as John puts it, he says that there were, behold, two angels that sat at the body where Jesus laid. So we had about three angels at least that are bearing testimony of being at that site. And the Bible says, Jesus says, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Oh, he does it all very strategically, very purposely, that the word of God might be established. So there was two angels that sat right where the body laid. And I was meditating upon that, and I'm thinking, wow, were they taking like a little break, or what were they doing, you know? And so as they began to look in, the Holy Spirit began to show me of what they represented. The Bible says that the angel sat at the head where Jesus was, and the other sat at the feet. You know, today when you go to the grave sites and you look to see some graves, you begin to see the dates. You begin to see a birth date and a death date. And one represented the testimony of the fact when Jesus came. And the other bore testimony of the fact that when Jesus, he died on that cross. But the grave of Jesus spoke different than a birth date and a death date. They both sat there and said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? There's no need to begin to etch the numbers inside of a stone. We're just here representing, yes, he came, yes, he died, but guess what? He ain't here no more. And so that's what they represent. And let's guess what? The angel didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. He didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out, Sister Rebecca. Somebody thought, well, maybe the king needs a little bit of help. Oh, are you kidding me? This king, he was walking through walls by that time. The stone was rolled away so that disciples could look in. So that they could look in and see. They couldn't handle the big stone. They couldn't handle Rome. They couldn't handle these things. But the kingdom of God had to come and help them out so that they could begin to see and see that where their Savior once lay, he's not there no more. Why seek the living among the dead? And that's why today God has called us to be a church who's alive. Because he's alive. The fact that he rose again all of a sudden was set and sealed the fact that our sins are done away with. That's why Paul puts it. He says, if Jesus never rose again, we'd be still stuck in our trespasses and sin. And sin would have still had its domain upon the cross. But because he rose again, and of course he accomplished everything and anything, that we now have that blessed hope. And so that's why the stone was rolled away. That's why angelic involvement was took place. Because a kingdom that could not be shaken overtook the very area that man tried to put his grasp on. How many know that death cannot hold life? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Lord, open up our eyes to see the supernatural. I get that out of what you're sharing. Oh, let's put our hands on our eyes. In Jesus' name, open up our eyes so we can behold the kingdom of light and kingdom of God in the earth today, Lord. To see beyond what we ever been able to see before. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm blessed. As I was seeking the Lord to put this together, I just said, who should we have? And so we have some young men here. And then Seth will be coming up here shortly too. And it's so good to have these folks here. And we give God all the praise. And then I wanted a woman to end it, you know. And so I said, Lord, who should we have? And So Rebecca so beautifully said, I'll come and talk about the first evangelist, you know, being a woman. Amen. So we'll see where the Holy Ghost goes with us here today. It's an honor just to be able to share together our hearts. I want some of the ushers to get ready here, if you would, please, Larry, if you would. And Steve, you want to go in and give you opportunity to bless the Lord in your giving here today, because we believe that give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Everybody say good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over. We just believe that's the power of the resurrection. Amen. That he does that to us supernaturally. And so whatever the Holy Spirit might direct you, we give you this opportunity here today as Ben gets ready to lead us in a song here this morning. And we want to stand when we sing this song here. So, brothers, you can come on, and God bless you richly. Father, we ask that you will just anoint this time of just giving back to you, Lord God, as is encouraged throughout Scripture, Lord God, that as we do our part, you come through with your part, Lord God, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together. Amen. And lead us, Brother Ben.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing Jesus Saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus Saves. Jesus Saves. Spread the tidings all around. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. In far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the islands of the sea echo back the ocean gaze. Earth shall keep her divine.
More verse, let's sing it together.
Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, oh Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. Lift our song.
Give a mighty hand clap. Hallelujah.
Amen. He saves. He saves. He saves. You may be seated. You know, here's another power and picture of the resurrection. I had a call this morning from Brother Jerry. He said, my ride didn't show up. Can you come take me to the sunrise service? Brother Jerry, why did you want to come here this morning to the sunrise service?
To get together with the friends and family. Friends.
Because you believe in the resurrection power of Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Jerry, I am so proud of you. We've been working with Jerry for many, many years, and I just appreciate through the thick and the thin and the ups and the downs, and here's a living testimony of a man for about a good 30 years, and he's been through everything, and I want to thank God for you, Jerry. God bless you richly for how you want God in your life and you want all that God has for him. That's what the resurrection power does. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if we realize so many things, we don't understand people's lives and journeys. We just don't. And that's why I have Brother Sister Rebecca here. Seth, come on up and just speak whatever God puts on your heart. We had the precious occasion. Scott called me the other day and we went down to Patrick Henry College. And we were part of a service down there. Seth wanted me to see his college and where he's studying to become the president of the United States someday, involved in politics. And that's his desire. And said, if Obama can do it, I can do it. I think that's pretty good. So God bless you, brother.
Amen. So Pastor Nelson made a scripture, and I'm like, okay, how do you preach on the Pharisees trying to cover up the resurrection? Like, can we learn from people trying to lie, cheat, and deceive the world? Can we, really? But I think we can. So Matthew 28:10 says, then Jesus said to them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel, and gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported unto the Jews until this day. So this is the moment when the chief priests and Pharisees and scribes and elders have encountered a living, true, and real gospel. Because up till this time, they thought, well, if he's the Son of God, they're mocking him on the cross, he'll come down and God will save you. But he's dead, so they think that they've conquered him. And they know full well what they did. They admit multiple times that he is the Holy One of Israel. And at this moment, they've realized that something is wrong with what they tried to do. They can't stop the gospel. Because the man that they tried to keep in the tomb, because they're afraid of his disciples. Well, the problem was the disciples weren't the ones to be feared. It was the one who could raise him from the dead that they were not following. And so they're trying to cover up a truth that is so powerful that if it got out, it would radically change everything about Israel and the world. And so they had to create a lie to cover up the truth, because the truth was so powerful that at face value they could not handle it. And if we realize that the gospel in its absolute essential form, when we present the pure gospel of Jesus Christ with all of the trappings that we placed on it, it is so powerful that the world cannot resist it. So I'd like to just read you something from Friedrich Nietzsche. Now Nietzsche is a German atheist. He died in 1900, right at the turn of the century. And he is famous for the statement, God is dead, and we have killed him. But this is what he said criticizing Christianity. The progress of this poison through the entire body of mankind seems irresistible. Its pace and tempo may from now on grow slower, less audible, and more cautious. There is plenty of time. To this end, does the church today have any necessary role to play? Does it even have the right to exist? Or could one do without it? It seems to hinder rather than hasten this progress, but perhaps that is its usefulness. It is the church, not the poison, that repels us. Apart from the church, we too love the poison. He recognized that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful that if it were presented absolutely, the world could not resist it. And he saw in us, the church, the hindrance to the progress of the gospel. And perhaps that's an indictment on ourselves for not preaching a true gospel, for not preaching the power of the resurrection as it should be preached. We cannot preach and live by a gospel that only gives us a ticket from here to heaven, because if that's the case, we'd all be dead the minute we got saved. We cannot preach a gospel that just teaches us to live a moral life, because there's a dozen other religions out there that can do it way more easier than this. We cannot just preach a happy-go-lucky religion that serves Jesus and everything will be happy and good, because that's not the gospel. We must preach and proclaim a gospel that assures us of a higher power beyond reason, a greater expanse than time in which we will live, and a universal choice that no one can help but make. The resurrection preaches a Lord to serve, a King to worship, and a Savior which transforms lives forever. The resurrection announces the death of the old man, the resurrection of a new man, and the service and life dedicated to the Son of Man. It is too powerful for the world to handle at face value. And when we reach the point when people's lives are completely transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they encounter Jesus Christ and can never be the same, when they refuse to go back, even when faced with everything and death upon them, they refuse to go back. That's when we know we have encountered a true gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to preach that gospel? And that's Skip telling me to shut up. And so that's the resurrection that the chief priests and elders were afraid of. So, yeah. But anyways, when we reach that point, we are preaching a true gospel. And so, in conclusion, are we preaching a gospel where people encounter us and walk away never the same? Are we preaching a resurrection where people are like, oh, that's sweet, lilies and roses and lambs? What are we preaching? What are we teaching? What are we living? If Satan's kingdom is not kicked out, then we're not preaching a true gospel. That's the resurrection that the chief priests were afraid of. That's the resurrection that every atheist, every power of hell is afraid of. And if we preach that resurrection of Jesus Christ, where people walk away and are forever changed, then we are preaching the true resurrection. And that's what the chief priests were afraid of when they tried to suppress it.
Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God for Justin and Seth and all of you, but God put the young ones before he put me up here. And when he talked about the gospel of the resurrection, my life is the gospel of the resurrection. My name is Rebecca Smith. My ministry is setting the captives free. And that's what I do, because he radically set me free. I had an encounter face to face with Jesus Christ. I've never been the same. I had stage 4 cancer with too much to live. I was 60 pounds. Redeemed from alcohol, drugs, prostitution. And Jesus Christ came in my hospital room on my last chemo treatment. I flatlined. And he gave me a word. When the word comes in the room, the word can never come back void. When the word gives you a word, it will never come back void. Because the word cannot come back void. Psalms 118:17, he said, my beloved daughter, you will not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. Will you go to the ends of the earth and not tell people how good I am, but how great I am? Because I'm the great I am and there is no other. Hallelujah. And that's what I've been doing ever since. Isn't it funny how the enemy tries to, all of a sudden, everything disappears. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to pull it back up. So anyway, Mark 16:1. It said, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the grave at the rising of the sun. Pastor Mel told me just say grave because it's easier. Don't you notice that it was two women that came early? The intercessors. You know, it's something about, I'm an intercessor myself. My mom was an intercessor. And all the women, my spiritual parents, are intercessors. And we get up early in that 3 to 4 hour, the fourth watch. See, Jesus always went early to the Father. There's something about getting up before the devil gets busy with your day. And so those women got up early to anoint him. Where was the disciples? Probably asleep. Where were the men? But it was two of them. And the Bible said when two or more gathered, he's in the midst. And Matthew 18:19 also said, if two touch and agree on earth, it's agreed in heaven. So see, they came into agreement, and they was going to anoint their Savior. And then it says in Matthew 28:7, it says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. And there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the grave with fear and joy. With fear and joy. With fear and joy. That's one of the seven spirits of the Lord. The reverential fear of the Lord. See, you can't do nothing for God if you don't have a reverential fear of the Lord. And they also said they did it with joy. If you think about Jesus Christ, he said because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, he saw every one of us on the other side of the cross, and it was worth him going to that cross. And they did run to bring his disciples the word. And some of the Bible says they ran quickly. Some of them said they ran immediately. What makes you run so fast to tell everybody that he's risen? See, they said, Rebecca, do you ever shut up talking about Jesus? Can't you talk about anything else? There's nothing else to talk about. Because he raised me up. He brought me out of hell. He brought me out of darkness. And every one of us, I don't care what our past was. When he rose, we rose from something. And the greatest thing that we rose from was sin itself. That we don't have condemnation to hell. That resurrection came with power. If you so believe. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Did you notice automatically they came to the feet and they worshiped him? How many times do we come to the feet of Jesus and worship him? And humble ourselves. And we, you know, when I was in Africa, we went even lower than that. It was something we laid prostrate before him. How many times do we worship him for what he's really done? Hallelujah. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. There they shall see me. What do you see today? He's risen. He's alive. What do you see? Ask God to give you eyes to see beyond the natural realm in the spirit. This morning the Lord woke me up and he said, my people must begin to see me from where they're seated in heavenly places with me. We got to stop looking from down here and begin to see from up there. Because when you learn how to live and then you learn how to work with the courts in heaven, you can execute God's will on earth as it is in heaven. But we have got to ask God. So Father, I pray this morning that you give them eyes to see from this seat where they're seated. Your word said we are seated in heavenly places with you. And God, your word is not a lie. So God, open our eyes this morning that we can see from that seat in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And the last one says, Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Look who Jesus showed up to first. Think about it. The one that had seven devils. The one that they thought was an outcast. The one that they thought was unworthy. Mary Magdalene. And think about it at that time where the men did not want to believe Jesus could have showed up to a woman first. It still happens in the church today. How many churches say women can't minister? I got a story too. For so long the women have been held aside, and I do believe in this Passover today that God's bringing the women to the forefront. Because we have not walked in our rightful place. And we have been held down. But if you look at it, the women were the ones that birthed in the natural. And that's what we're doing in the spirit. Amen? And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed it not. They didn't believe it. How many of people you know that you tell about the resurrection and they don't believe? In 2004, they gave me a death sentence. I stand here as resurrection grace with the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to fit in what you think I look like because I'm radically transformed. Jesus isn't who I need. He's all I got. And once you've been got by God, nothing can change you. He is alive. But the best thing about it, he's alive in us. It burns. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. So I'm going to pray over y'all today that resurrection life of he who is life will burn in you. That everywhere you go, that the world won't see you, but they will see him. So Father, I lift up Grace Chapel. I thank you this morning for this opportunity to glorify you. And God, as we come to this sunrise service, it's because even before the dawn, you had already risen. It had already been finished. And God, I thank you that because you was alive 2,000 years ago, you're still alive today and more alive today than ever before. And you're coming soon, Lord. And so, God, you said in your word, the bride makes herself ready. So, God, this morning, my prayer is that we will make ourselves ready. And, Father, my prayer in Jesus' name is that the resurrection power, the fire of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost will ignite your people, will bring them alive, God. And, God, help them to realize because of resurrection power, death cannot touch them. Depression cannot touch them. Sickness cannot touch them. Disease cannot touch them. We cast it out today in Jesus' name because of the blood of the Lamb. And we claim the power and the victory and the blood of the Lamb and the finished work of the cross. Jesus, you said at the cross, it is finished. You didn't stutter. You didn't hesitate. And so, Father, I prophesy over this house. It is finished. So I don't know what you came in here today with, whatever worries or whatever struggles, but I hear the Lord saying, it is finished. From this day forth, don't pick it back up. It's over. I just moving into a house on Tuesday. Tuesday is the last day of Passover. I cried out as a missionary. I'm a full-time missionary for 4 years. God, I just want to share this real quick, Pastor Mel, because the Holy Ghost is on me now. God told me, go find your own home because I need a place not to visit but to rest, Rebecca. I want to come and I'm going to put you in a place where I habitate 24/7 and they will come and they will find me. Tuesday, I move into my house. Somebody from Holland sent me $2,500. They was woken up in the middle of the night and said, God told me to put a deposit on your house. Come on. On the last day of Passover, he gave me the key. Tuesday's the 18th, the last day of Passover. And this is what God said to me. I'm giving you the keys to Passover into the new realm. So I'll let y'all know, but this is for people. This move right now is for people that are hungry and thirsty to radically change their city. So may we pass over to the other side. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe it. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. I believe that. There's a supernatural anointing going forth upon every one of our hearts this morning. You shall know the truth, and what shall it do? Set you free. What I hear the word of the Lord speaking through our sister, our past is in the past, and no more do we go back. We are not defined by our past. We're defined by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have the DNA of the kingdom. Hallelujah, Brother Ron. Amen. We have the DNA of the kingdom of God in us. I am so thankful this morning that each one of us are getting new eyes and new hearts, and we are going forth from this place resurrected in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, Brother Barry. I like it. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. These are good words that are coming forth. And I just want to end it up with the commission of the resurrection. Oh, I like that. It is all inclusive, what you've been hearing this morning. We started off with, let me see here. I want to clarify what we started. We start off with the good news of the resurrection. He is not here. He is risen. And then we went to the resurrection, a sight to behold,
I love that. I believe that every one of us, because we're seeing this more, are going to see angelic visitation, because every one of us has their ministers of God given to us of heirs of salvation. And so in Jesus' name, I believe we can see in that realm. And I want us to know that the hosts of heaven is behind us as we go 100% for God. And that is, we determine what kingdom wants is going to be part of us. And the attitude, Seth, you've done a tremendous job. The attitude of the church leaders, let's not be the doubting leaders. Let's be the ones that believe and thank God for it. And then the woman, the first evangelist of the resurrection. My God. It's very interesting on that. We were down here about a month ago, Dad and I, in the Amish community. And we're a part of taking them to a new level of operation, which the Holy Spirit is amazing. The 40 on down age group are not satisfied with the traditions of their fathers anymore, because they don't line up with God's word. And there is a hunger, hunger, hunger. And so we were making a prophetic declaration, digging the ground. And they had 12 shovels, and they were giving it to men. And I went over to Sam Stallfood, the Amish man, who's overseeing this and who we're submitting unto. And I said, Sam, I feel a woman needs to take a shovel, because I knew how they suppress the women. So he said, I was thinking that too. I said, now, God does have his chain of command, but I want you to know that we need to submit to God. We need to submit to those over us. We need to submit to our husbands and submit to one another. But we believe that God is doing a prophetic declaration, Brother Justin, here in this community. And a woman, her Amish woman, took one of those shovels, because I said the very same thing. I believe God wants to set the Amish women free. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we believe this word is going to be resurrecting, Lord, multitudes of women, Lord God. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. Mark 16:14. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them because of their unbelief. All right, get the picture here. These were his men that journeyed with him for 3.5 years and saw all the miracles that he was doing. He wanted to pass that on to them. And he was telling them about what he was going to be doing. And here, the 11 sat there. He challenged them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart. I see that so much in the so-called believers. I'm a Christian. And yet, they are not following in the word of God. And we got to guard against that. Because they believe not them which had seen him after he was risen. And so we said, people aren't going to believe, but that's okay. And he said unto them, you know, I appreciate how God orchestrates that when we get on with his program, supernatural things begin to happen. Even they were unbelievers. But he challenged them. Now, folks that walked with me for 3.5 years and saw all that I was doing, and I told you that greater works than you shall we go do because I go to my Father. He spoke all that over them. Very interesting. And this is what he said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. I'm decreeing over every one of you, every last one of you here, that signs are going to begin to follow each one of you. Can we say amen?
We're believers. And we're going to go forth and do what God told us to do in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. Oh, God, repeat after me. Lord, seal these words to our hearts. And we will not be unbelievers anymore. But we're going to believe in the power of the resurrection. And we're going to go forth and do your works. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Well, we're gonna worship the Lord. So Ben, let's stand up and lead us.
Praise the Lord.
Say a word, Brother Ben.
Say what?
Say a word.
Say a word. Glory! Hallelujah. We're gonna sing a quick song that just kinda gets the blood pumping so your body can process breakfast a little better. And we honor Jesus at the same time. Amen.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen.
One more time.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Oh. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on. Let's say it one more time. I say He is risen. You say? He is risen indeed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Is this all right?
You know, I believe that we need to act like we say we are.
Come on,
true
man.
Believers in the resurrection.
Come on.
And they tell us, Brother Jim Woodward shared it. We had about 80 people out for the breakfast here yesterday morning, and he was sharing with us that the people that have the Lord as their Lord and Savior in their lives shine. He sees it. He has new eyes. We were over at the walk for March for Jesus Friday, and there was a hearse there because they were having a viewing for a funeral. And as I was standing beside him, he said, "Do you see that white figure there at that hearse?" "No, I don't see it." "I see it." He saw an angel. Because he's been to heaven, was there for 11 hours, in heaven, and Jesus told him to go back. He sees things, and he can tell if people are really connected with the God. God said we were supposed to be children of the light. I like that. Children of the light. Come on, let it shine. You can easily tell if someone is connected or not. It don't take much revelation, folks. I want you to know that. But let's be pure light, shining for Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for for each one of us that have been here today, receiving a new revelation, a new understanding, and thank God for true resurrection life. Lord, now, till 9 o'clock, Lord, when we start a worship service, as we go down and fellowship, others will be coming in to, have a, Lord, a meal with us today, breakfast, Lord. And it's very interesting. Afterward, you sat down with the disciples, Lord. And so we can sit around the table and receive fellowship and minister one to another. And may each one of us go as we go forth in this day. We'll be touching a lot of our family, families getting together, and whatever that might be, Lord God, will you be glorified in it. And help us all to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.